Some people like to deep clean every Saturday morning. I prefer to spend a few minutes every day keeping things fresh with Lysol. Lysol's disinfecting wipes conveniently tackle surfaces, including remotes, tablets, and smartphones, killing 99.9% of viruses and bacteria. Don't just clean, Lysol clean.
Texting between two different kinds of phones makes photos blurry, ugly, and security risky. Not just that. It also makes video calling, editing messages, or leaving a group nearly impossible. With WhatsApp, everyone can enjoy seamless messaging with the protection of end-to-end encryption. Streamline your messages across all devices on WhatsApp. Message privately with anyone you want. Click the banner or download now to learn more.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Imagine earning a degree that prepares you with real skills for the real world. Capella University's programs teach skills relevant to your career so you can apply what you learn right away. Learn how Capella can make a difference in your life at capella.edu.
Hey everyone, Julia Barbaro here, host of the Julia and Gino podcast. I'm here with the co-founder of Jake and Gino, my husband and co-host, Gino Barbaro.
Julia, how are you?
I am great.
Today's show, we have the founder of Master Talk, Brendan Kumarasamy. I think I nailed his last name. Jake, if you're listening, I nailed it. Starting petrified to post his first YouTube video, he was determined to overcome his limiting beliefs and provide value to others. Sounds a little bit like my wife, huh? She has some living beliefs and all of a sudden she started creating a ton of value for people. That's right. He now coaches executives and entrepreneurs to become top communicators in their industry. Without further ado, welcome to the show, Brendan.
Gino, Julia, the pleasure is mine. Thanks for having me on.
I'm excited you're here because I hear about you, Brendan. You've been working with my husband about communication. I have one question before we actually
just
start.
Just one question.
It's
question.
An important one and it's the only one I wrote down. So that's how you know it's important. Should I be concerned that my husband constantly says I need to practice smiling?
Oh, yes. I can answer that with Brendan answering that. Yes. Yes.
Does that say a lot about our relationship is my question.
I'm just a down person. Maybe I don't smile as much as I should.
Okay.
What Brendan's going to say is Gino. Or he should say, Julia, do you make Gino smile?
Well, I'm asking Brendan.
Okay. I'll let Brendan answer the question. Brendan, please go ahead and answer that question.
I just love being on the show to watch both of you be in a relationship. I think it's really fun for me. It shows you what true love is. But yes, I think smiling is definitely something I pointed out for Gino. I just think you have an incredible amount of patience to deal with Gino, Julia, on a daily basis. So that's the idea. Whereas in general, you know, as human beings, because obviously both of you have a long history together, so
yes,
it's fine.
We do. Right.
But for somebody who's new to somebody in general, if you meet somebody on the street, you're like, hey, how's it going? Yeah, how are you? Yeah, my name's Brendan. My name's Juno. My name's Julie. They won't particularly resonate with you too much because you don't really look excited about life. So yeah, I did challenge Juno quite a bit to smile a little bit more.
Just a little side note. There's little notes all over the place with a little smiley face.
I got one here.
Again,
they're all over the place.
I still don't smile as much as I should. But I'm here. So you smile more when I'm here.
Baby.
Yeah. Okay.
And Brendan, the only important thing. You made an important point. We had Jake and Gino masterclass today. Every Monday at 12 p.m., we bring on experts. Brendan was on today. Mm-hmm. And one thing that really stood out with me and stuck out with me is when you're on Zoom and somebody's talking to you, smile. And most of us, honestly, we don't because we don't think we're thinking. We have got game face on. We're like this. Talk about that because it's really, really important. Even to start off when you're starting off, you know, your Zoom call with your team members and you're a leader, you want to have the influence, you want to have some persuasion and have the great communication. Walk us through what that looks like in Brendan's world.
Absolutely, Gino. And there's two great parts here. One is a tip that we haven't really talked about that much that I'll cover today, which is there's two parts to remembering the smile. So one is one that you've already implemented in your household, clearly by Julia's feedback, or there's a bunch of post-notes to say to smile. But there's a second way you can implement this too, which is you put a picture of someone or something that makes you smile. So you mentioned that your wife makes you smile a lot. So if you put pictures of your wife everywhere, kind of replace the post-it notes, it helps with that as well. So
how about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. It's John LeFoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last crunch berry.
No!
No one steals my crunch berries.
I think you mean my crunch berries. Choose your own crunch venture with Cap'n Crunch.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Earning your degree online doesn't mean you have to go about it alone. At Capella University, we're here to support you when you're ready. From enrollment counselors who get to know you and your goals, to academic coaches who can help you form a plan to stay on track, we care about your success and are dedicated to helping you pursue your goals. Going back to school is a big step, but having support at every step of your academic journey can make a big difference. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You said the picture of her makes me smile. I never said that. Let's not make the assumption here.
He uses one of the kids. Let's just be honest, and that's okay. I'm okay. I would do the same if I needed to remind myself to smile.
And Brendan, you'd said something today on the class, which was when you're on a Zoom and you're participating or you're just listening to Brendan speak. Make sure that you smile. Make sure that you're present. Make sure that you and even when you're speaking to your kids. You listen to your kids, you're like, as in, you know, if you show up the way you show up, that's important. Let's dive into that. And like I said, let's go into how to start that conversation. Remember the leader A and then the leader B. What are the differences between that leader A, who's just showing up a certain way, and leader B? And whether it's the different energies, the different tonalities, the different facial expressions, let's go over that.
Absolutely. A couple of great points here. So the first one is, why is the smile important, especially with younger children, since we're talking about kids? The reason is because most human beings respond through nonverbal communication as opposed to verbal. So we say this all the time in relationships. When you ask somebody how they're doing, they're going, yeah, I'm fine. But their nonverbal communication is telling us something completely different, which is, hey, by the way, I'm not fine, and you need to either leave me alone or ask me more questions about it so I open up more. So with younger children, obviously, they don't have the verbal communication capacity yet to convey ideas, even if they wanted to. So a lot of the way we should communicate with kids is through nonverbal. So if you go, how was your day, going back to leader A versus leader A, B, if leader A goes, how was your day, and leader B goes, you know, how was your day? There's a very big difference. And those key differences are, one, the smile, two, the vocal projection. So like leader A, there's a lot more vocal projection. There's a lot more, hey, how's your day going? They're showing that smile. Whereas leader B is saying the same thing, how was your day? But they're conveying that same idea in a way that's not really exciting. So the emotion that they're trying to communicate is not mirroring what's on their face. So those are the key differences.
So since my wife only has one question that she was going to ask you, her time is up. I have to carry the rest of the show because she says I don't listen, but I'm a good listener because I could have sworn she said she only had one important question.
Your listening is very selective.
See, selective. Yeah. Okay, it's a selective listening.
I have loads of questions.
You have now she has loads. From one to loads.
After my first.
Go, baby. After get the loads. First. What's the next question?
Well, no, I love what you said, and I want to kind of go there because a lot of times, you know, we have a relationship, whether it's a friendship, a spouse, kids, even parents, and we answer the question how we answer it. And we ask the question how we ask it. And then we get irritated by the other side. You know, you ask your kids when they come home, how was your day? Good, great. And then you move on. And it's a problem because we don't put the effort into finding out really how their day was. Are we actually interested in them? Are we interesting when we just say, hey, how's it going? We're not really. It's just a, you know.
It's like a transitionary question.
Yes. Yeah. And so when we talk about like, how do we get a better question to ask and tell me what to do. Everyone listening, we all do. Hey, how's it going? How was your day? Brendan's going to give us a secret here. Go ahead, Brendan.
Absolutely.
The secret to life.
Let's hope it's a good secret. So there's two parts of how we can tackle this. So one thing I want to point out before we get into those two things, team, is the idea that it's okay to ask, hey, how's it going? Because it just starts off the conversation and you go into something more exciting. So that's fine. But there's other ways on how we carry the conversation after that first question. Mm-hmm. So with kids, one thing I like to do, I don't have kids of my own yet, but I'm sure I will at some point. But I do this with a lot of my nieces and nephews. I was in Toronto last weekend for my niece's first birthday. So a lot of the kids were running around like 5, 7 years old. So you can ask a question like, what was one thing you loved about your day and one thing you hated about your day? So what you're doing is you're forcing them into a specific frame. This is what we call framing in conversation. So instead of asking something super, super open-ended, you ask something very specific. So someone who's like a tired 9-year-old after school, they don't want to answer, how was your day? Yeah, it was good, mom. Like, because they don't want to bother you. They're like, yeah, whatever. Like, yeah, dad, it was good. And then just move on. Whereas if you ask something like, hey, what was something you liked and one something you hated, it forces them to think and then you respond with a follow-up question. So let's say they go, oh, you know, dad, one thing I really liked about my day is I played baseball with my friends. Oh, cool. Tell me more about that. Tell me more is one of the best questions to ask people because it makes them feel special. Well, nobody asked me to tell me more, so I'll talk more. That's option one. The second option you could do, and speaking of options, I'm losing my train of thought here. What was option two again? So tell me about your day. And oh, yes, is asking generalized questions that are general but not asked a lot. So one thing I ask when people meet me in person and I don't know them, I just ask them the simple question, what are you excited about the most in your life right now? Instead of saying, how's the weather? And when you ask that question, they go, huh. Well, I guess what's excited about me is X. And then you just go, tell me more. And then the conversation ensues.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on.
Crunch Island. It's John LeFoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
If a friend asks how you're doing, and you say,
I'm okay,
when the truth is,
I don't want my problems to burden anyone,
or you say,
hang it in there,
because
if I ask for help, they'll just think I'm weak,
then this is your sign to call, text, or chat 988 for free, confidential support, anytime. You don't have to hide how you feel.
Imagine earning a degree that prepares you with real skills for the real world. Capella University's programs teach skills relevant to your career so you can apply what you learn right away. Learn how Capella can make a difference in your life at capella.edu.
I have to say one thing. I've been speaking with Brendan for the last several months, and I've never heard him say, I lost my train of thought. And I can only say it was my wife's fault. You see what I'm saying? I've never heard Brendan say, hold on.
That's because, you know why? Because I'm smiling when he's talking. So he's like, oh my gosh, she's smiling. Yes. I'm not
You're
used to that.
You're dazzling him. Is that what it is? He's like, oh my God. So...
It's honestly, I did this show mostly to meet you, Julia. That's what I told you. Yeah.
And Brendan, it's one important what you really did, which was really phenomenal. You said, I lost my train of thought. You didn't go crazy. You paused for a second. You recollected yourself. Right. And you caught yourself. And if you didn't remember, the worst thing you could have said is, hey, Julia, I didn't catch the second part of the question. I was so engrossed in asking the first part. So that's just, I think, another tip that you can do is don't be afraid to say, I don't know. And that's for anybody trying to raise capital. That's anybody trying to close a deal. You can't know everything unless you're Julia. And if you don't know everything, it's okay to say, hey, what was the question again? Or I don't know. I'll get back to you. But give us some big things you see people who make mistakes when they're communicating. I mean, when they come into your class, I mean, I saw the transformation from week one to week 13. And it was really simple stuff that people did. They had no idea the things they were doing that were completely, you look at yourself 12 weeks later, you're like, I can't believe I was that person 12 weeks ago. And there's just minor little tweaks. What are some of the things that you see people make transformational, things that they change in their speech?
Of course. First of all, super, super grateful you took the class and super grateful for your kind words as well. I'm glad you enjoyed it. So yeah, a couple of points there that you had mentioned. One is really, what is the big mistakes that people make? So let's summarize this down into my five levels of speech. So what are the five levels of speech? They are the five most common communication strategies that will lead to the fastest results for somebody. So those five levels are smiling, pausing, I'll repeat it twice, vocal tone variety, pacing, and putting it all together. Smiling, pausing, vocal tone variety, pacing, and putting it all together. So now where do the mistakes lie? Because we could spend the whole episode talking about mistakes, but these are probably the five most common ones. So the first one is smiling. So I think we've beaten that dead horse long enough, right? You got to smile a little bit more when we're speaking. But the trick is you don't have to smile with your teeth. You don't have to go with like a big face. Just doing a small smile goes a long way. Number two is the pause. So a lot of us when we're speaking, team, is whenever we're sharing the ideas, we always forget to pause. We always have that friend who goes, hey, you wouldn't believe what happened last time. You're like, what happened? They just keep rambling on for 20 minutes without saying a pause. And you're just like, when is this story going to end? Like, what was the point of this? So taking the time to breathe and replacing our ahs and ums with pausing is the key to level two. Level three is vocal tones. To keep it simple, a lot of us when we share ideas, Julia and Gino, we're always speaking in the same tone. Yeah, you know, I had a great day and this happened. And whenever you stay in the same tone, notice how the audience are starting to tune out for my message already. So what you want to do differently is change your vocal tone a little bit more. Go high a little bit more. Go a little low. So when you start talking about your day, it becomes more of a roller coaster wide of interest versus being stuck in traffic, right? So that's number three. Number four is pacing. So a lot of coaches, I feel, give the wrong advice on this, where they always say the advice is to speak slower. So for somebody like Gino, who has more of a New York style of speaking, this is really good advice because everyone in New York, rightfully so, because the nature of the city, it's like, go, go, go. It's like, hey, this is what's happening. This is what's happening. So everyone is trained to speak really fast. And I've seen that a lot with my New Yorkers. So for them, speaking slowly is the right advice. But if you're slow all the time, when you're speaking, eventually people lose train of thought. So the key is to do both. Speak a little faster sometimes and speak a little slower. And those are the five big mistakes. And then the fifth one is just doing it all at the same time.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. It's John LaFoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away!
Throw our last crunch berry!
No!
No one steals my crunch berries.
I think you mean my crunch berries. Choose your own crunch venture with Cap'n Crunch.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. being there day and night and building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Imagine earning a degree that prepares you with real skills for the real world. Capella University's programs teach skills relevant to your career so you can apply what you learn right away. Learn how Capella can make a difference in your life at capella.edu.
Hi, it's Martha Stewart. You know, I spend a lot of time thinking about dirt. At 3 a.m., at all hours of the day, really. What people don't know is that not all dirt is the same. You need dirt with the right kind of nutrients. New Miracle-Gro organic raised bed and garden soil is so dense, so full of nutrient-rich, high-quality ingredients. Miracle-Gro is simply the best.
So you're hitting me.
I wasn't hitting you. I put my finger. We have this code. Usually I push him over. I push him over.
Like a secret code.
That's her communication. Is like she hits me. She doesn't talk to me.
It's a slow pushover. Did you want to talk?
I just wanted to say one thing that I really appreciated when we had one of our calls about 3 weeks ago. I got on this big energy and I'm speaking to someone who does not mirror my energy. And kinesthetic is very important. It's being aware of the other person. And if you, I don't think you have to match them the whole time, but maybe start out by matching them and then be variety. And that's probably done with vocal tones as well as speaking higher, having more energy, and then pulling it back. You should speak to that a little bit because that is so important. I was caught off guard. I'm just a happy, energetic person when I get on Zoom. You know, I can be infectious. I'm excited, especially when we talk about real estate. I'm going crazy, personal finance. But the person next to me may be a little bit more quiet, maybe a little bit more audible. And they're like, dude, what have you been smoking, bro? Can you calm down a little bit? And I don't want to convey that, but that's what may be coming off with the energy that I put off.
100%, Gino. And I'm glad you had the humility. That's what I've always appreciated about you, side note. You have such a humility like about you. Like even when you're already super successful, you always ask yourself what the next level is. So what is Gino referring to for the team? So what he's referring to is a really advanced notion of communication, which is called the mirroring. So I push this a little bit further where I say that the best communicators on the planet are not just good at speaking out loud in a presentation. They're also really good at changing and shifting their energy profile based on who they're speaking to. So a good example is because both of you are great examples because both of you have completely different energy profile just based on the conversation so far, just based on my limited data. So obviously Gino's really the outgoing person. And by the way, Jill, I'm sure you're outgoing too, but it's a different energy. It's not like, hey, everybody, let's go for a party. It's more, hey, let's do this. It's going to be great. So if I was on the show just with you, Julia, I would always talk in this tone. I wouldn't yell too much because naturally the people who would resonate with you on a podcast would probably be people with the same energy profile. So that's one piece. The second piece is based on who I'm coaching or who I'm interacting with. It's not even about coaching. It's just human being. I'm always changing my energy. And a lot of people might say that this is fake. I disagree. I think it's about having empathy to meet people where they're at. So going back to Gino's example, the setting that he was talking about is like we were practicing listening together. So everyone's talking about their goals. And the person he was communicating with is a very shy and introverted person. So when Gino started talking, he was like, hey, let's do this goal. Okay, what's the next goal? What's the next goal? And you could feel the overwhelmed on her face. It's just Gino doesn't realize it because he's focused on like helping her, right? So it's not like a bad thing. He isn't aware of it. But you can feel the energy profile. Whereas when I'm talking to her privately, I'm always talking to her this way. Hey, how was your day? What was the highlight of your day? Whereas when I'm talking with Gino, I'm very New York style. Hey, Gino, you didn't do these 7 things this week. We got to get these 7 things done. Whereas when I'm meeting Gino's wife, which is you, Julia, I go, hey, how's your day, Julia? I hope you're doing well. It's just here I'm switching back and forth because both of you are kind of in extremes and I'm kind of meeting both of you in the middle, but that's the idea.
So how do you do this on stage when you're on stage and you're talking to a crowd and you want to be able to hit the video, the auditory and the kinesthetic, all three? Are you switching between all three in the presentation?
Excellent question, Gino. So in keynoting, it's different because you have a wide range of people. So the advice changes one-on-one, small group, to keynote. So to keynote, what you want to do is exactly what you suggested, where you actually operate out of all the frames. So sometimes when I'm keynoting, I'll start with, and then this happened, and then I go back to my childhood. You know, if you go back to my childhood, something happened there that I want to speak to you about. So I go to every mode so I can resonate with as many people as possible in the crowd. So in a keynote style, the catch is you kind of throw a wide net and you try and catch as many people as possible in the net. Whereas if you're in a small group like we were a part of together, Gino, or we're in a one-on-one situation, now you're really changing your energy a lot more. So in like a coaching program, there's 10 or 15 people in the group. I'm actually changing my energy profile based on who I'm speaking with in the group. And the example I used in class was everyone who's sending me videos, I'm coaching them completely differently. Whereas when pure one-on-one, it's just who that energy profile is. And you're just adapting to that one person.
I know you know the gentleman named Vin, who's big time speaker. In one of his classes, one of his lessons, he talks about the different archetypes. I know one is the coach, whereas Tony Robbins is always in coach mode, pointing, yelling, screaming. The other one is teacher mode. I forget there's a couple other, and I try to remember those as well and try to dive into each one of those. I don't know if you saw the lesson today at 12 o'clock. Jake has got a different personality than me. I wish he would become a little bit more of a storyteller. He's a little bit more too abrupt, to the point. He doesn't flush it out kind of thing. And I'm trying to be like a little more touchy-feely, and it works really well. But I think when I listen to Vin, it's really cool how he says, if you notice Tony Robbins, he's always screaming, he's always yelling, which is great energy, and that's what he's trying to do. But for 4 days, it's probably why he burns out. But as far as like when you go into the teacher mode or you go into that, I think it's important that you just put that in your brain, like you say.
Absolutely. And I love Vin's work. And I need to study that module and more detail that you brought up. So send me that link. I'll definitely watch it. But the only layer I'll add on top of Vin's brilliant thought leadership on this is what a master speaker can do is they can jump into any of those modes.
Yes.
Right. Like an example of me last weekend is I was with my family. You know, and my family's amazing, but they don't really, you know, invest in themselves. They don't really do like coaching and all that stuff. So Brendan ain't the coach, because if Brendan brings coach Brendan and says, hey, what are your goals this year? Everyone's just going to get annoyed. It's like, come on, bro. Like, can we just go to the aquarium and enjoy ourselves? Like, and we went to an aquarium. It was nice. So when Brendan is in that situation, I'll be family Brendan. Right. I'll just be, hey, I don't want to talk about master talk. We don't talk about my accomplishments. We don't talk about what I did. We just focus on, hey, what's everyone else is doing and just jumping up and down playing with the kids. That's the key. Right. So the main lesson is what master communicators are able to do. And this is hard. It's easy to say, but not easy to implement, is they're able to assess what type of setting they're in, and they're able to change modes based on where they are and what they're doing. So if I'm coaching Jake on speaking, not that he needs it, but if I was coaching him, I would be very, very serious with him in the coaching. Look, I know you don't want to do this, but you need to focus here, and here's why, and here's how it's affecting the business. Here it's affecting. So I'd be very a doomsday with him. Hey, if you don't do X, Y will happen. So that's how I would communicate with him. Whereas Gino, it's still that way because he's still like results-oriented guy, but it's going to be a mix. It's going to be that, but it's also, hey, let's have fun in this journey too. Not everything has to be dry and cut out. And then when I'm talking to someone on the complete end of the spectrum who is deathly afraid of speaking, hey, why don't we try one random word exercise together, which I'm sure we'll cover today. Well, you know, why don't we try one little exercise and let's see what we can do. And I remind them how powerful their voice is. So I'm still the same Brendan, but I'm changing my languaging to make sure that as many people as possible are comfortable with me.
True or false? Walmart has eye care. True. Stop by Walmart to save and browse top designer frames right where you already shop. And they accept most insurance. Welcome to Easy Eye Care. Welcome to your Walmart.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Head to White Castle for 12 crispy all-white meat chicken rings for just $3.99. For a limited time, choose from Classic, Hidden Valley Ranch, or our new Smoky Barbecue flavor, and take home 12 chicken rings for just $3.99. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Imagine earning a degree that prepares you with real skills for the real world. Capella University's programs teach skills relevant to your career so you can apply what you learn right away. Learn how Capella can make a difference in your life at capella.edu.
And one last point. Isn't it also the outcome that you're desiring? Like if I'm on a lesson, week lesson, and I want to sell something, I want to have that energy. And even if the people don't resonate with it, you can still pull back and pull forth. And that's why I always joke around with Jake on the call. I was talking to him about obligations and all, and he just doesn't want to go there. It's the funny how he just stopped. And I'm like, that word is powerful. If you're obligated to do something, you're not going to show up with your best energy. And he's making sort of excuses and squirming in his chair, and he's uncomfortable. I love that, bro. That was like worth the price of admission. I'm just saying, that was just an amazing point. So, yeah.
No question.
I just had a,
I love this conversation because, well, first of all, I know why you've changed how you talk to people. It's very impressive now, because now that we talked to Brendan a little bit. But I love that you talk about like the awareness of who you're talking to, because a lot of people don't. And I have to go back to like coach mode, because, you know, we have 6 children. They all like to talk. I think we taught them well on how to answer questions.
They all like to eat too. That's the problem.
Yeah, right. They eat good food, but they do cook. They like to cook. So that's a big plus. And so sometimes it's hard, like I say, hey, how's your day been? You know, oh, and they'll actually tell me the whole entire rundown of every, which is great. And I love it.
Times 6.
But there are times where I'm like, I'm almost in coach mode of, okay, all right, well, what do you got to do? And you have to be aware of their reaction. Like you were saying, when you talk to children, especially, I think sometimes we're always in like helping other people and we're not paying attention to their reaction to you. Because that's so important. Sometimes they don't want to be coached. And I always give this big thing, like, hey, do you want me to just listen, or do you want me to help you solve this? Because I give people that, some people just literally need to talk.
She never says that to me.
I said it to you one time. And I'm like, wow, this really works. I tell people this all the time. And I'm like, let me try it myself. And I'm like, this is amazing. Remember I came up to the office that time and you're like upset?
That one time, Brendan.
And you're like, I just need to talk. I'm like, all right. I'm ready. So yeah. So I love that you pointed that out. And also like, what setting are you in? Because a lot of times my husband, like I remember years ago when he used to work at the restaurant, he was in boss mode. I mean, he was telling everyone what to do all day long. And sometimes he would come home and the kids would be like, oh my gosh, dad's like mad at me for, you know, he's like, did you do this? So the kids are like, oh my gosh, he was always in boss mode because that's what he had to do. He didn't realize, okay, now you have to get into father mode and you have to actually listen. And so it's really hard. So what if someone's listening right now and they're like, yeah, I'm always in that one mode all the time because that's what I'm used to. What advice do you give them? Like, what's like one little step that they could take away right now?
Absolutely, Julie. And a lot of couple of points you brought up. One, you know, the reason I can coach this so well is because I had the same problem. I used to be boss mode all the time. Right? But with my kids, it was with my sister. Because I live with my sister and my mom. So every time I come home from like a personal development seminar, you come home super high energy. It's like, hey, what are your goals? What do you do? And my sister was just having none of it. She's like, I don't want to listen to this stuff. She doesn't watch my stuff on Instagram. It doesn't matter, right? She's just like, yeah, just like my brother. And that's cool. So we have to learn how to meet people where they're at. The second example, just so people are aware of this, is that happened on the podcast right now in a brilliant way where me and Gina realized we were monopolizing the conversation. Both of us just stopped. Notice how we just stopped. And there was like a quiet for 2 seconds. And then Julia jumped in because we both realized, that's why Gino's gotten super good at this, that wait a second, oh, Julia's not talking anymore. And I've gotten hypersensitive to those things as a comms coach, right? So that's the second piece, is sometimes awareness is not really about being perfect all the time, is you kind of just be, you just have to look around. And the third piece, Julia, to your question is, okay, Brendan, a lot of people are in that one mode now. Can you go to second mode? I like what you said. I think your advice is actually the answer to that question you asked, which is, you know, the thing that I do, Brendan, with my kids is I ask them, do you want me to just listen to you or do you want me to solve the problem? And what this now plays into most people listening to us. Let's face it, especially the men listening to this, we're always problem solvers. That's how our brain is wired in a lot of ways. So the trick is to learn the opposite. And I don't want to make this stereotypical to gender, but I think in general, this is applied across my career, where the men are always trying to solve problems and women are mostly listening to other people. They have a lot more support groups than men do. Men don't really talk to other men that much. Women are texting each other all the time. So the trick is if you're somebody who is more of a listener, try and solve people's problems a little bit more. And if you're more of a problem solver, like me and Gino are, you want to sit back and just listen to people and only solve problems. I even push this further. Only, it's hard to do with kids because they're your kids and you don't want to do it. But in general, I would say only solve their problems if they ask you to.
Now, Brendan, I've been monopolizing the conversation, so I'm going to let my wife answer that.
No. I gave you a couple. I said you're doing well in because we're bossing.
I'm just joking.
Well, I like the when you talked about number two about was that pausing? Is that or pacing? That was pacing. Number two, is that correct? Okay,
so in the five levels, yeah.
The five levels, it's funny because my husband and I, we a lot of times talk, and we were talking about. Do you remember what this conversation? Oh, you have no idea what I'm talking about because you weren't listening, but you're in the conversation. And
at least we know what you know. Yeah,
we were talking about it, and sometimes, and this is just like maybe our upbringing, is that you want it. You're so quick to get your point across because the other person, like you're assuming the other person is actually not interested in what you have to say and is just ready to talk. Did you ever talk to a person where you can tell they're thinking and they're actually not paying attention to what you're saying and what you're saying is not important? And so you just got to quickly get it out so that they, it's like, so just ramble all of it. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
okay.
I do.
And so what do you do in a situation like that? And I'm not talking like on stage or coaching in a, you know, in a personal relationship where the other person you can tell are not paying attention. So you just got to quickly give it all.
Right. And I think both of you will appreciate the advice, especially you, Julia. The answer is you got to set the example first. So the mistake that a lot of people make when listening, and I ain't that great of a listener. I know Gino sees me as this great listener because I'm so good with clients. When it's business, Brendan's going to put his business hat on. He's going to be a really good listener. You think I'm a great listener to my sister, Gino? She hates my guts. Are you kidding me? She hates me. She's like, this guy never listens. My family like hits around me this... Just yesterday, they're like, bro, you don't listen to us. I was like, yeah, I know. I'm so, because if it's not about business.
You should have said, well, if you've got something interesting to say, I'll listen to you. You don't have any family. That's okay. That's my advice to you, okay?
I'm dumb, but I ain't that dumb. We ain't going to go that far. But the key is, at least when I do this right 80% of the time, definitely never going to say 100. We're all works in progress. But I think the main idea is you have to set the example. I'll give you a personal story in my family that I did well for once. Me and my mother used to argue all the time, all the time. And the main reason, and I'm sure as immigrants, people can relate to this, is like your value system from the country you were born with is completely different than the value system that your children grew up in. So like my mother grew up in like in a civil war in Sri Lanka. So when she immigrated to Canada, which is obviously a first world country and nothing really bad happens besides, you know, getting the wrong Starbucks order. So we come from completely different value systems. I remember one story when I was 12 years old, my mom would not let me eat food at another person's house. And I got so mad. I was like, what are you talking about? You know these people. Why can't I? And we fought so much on this. And I was so mad at her all the time. And then one day I said, you know what? Do I want, which is the advice, do I want this to be the rest of my life? Do I want this for my? Do I want this kind of relationship with my mom my whole life, right? Because I don't want that. You know, when she passes away in 50 years, hopefully, and she's on her deathbed, do I want her to think that her son didn't love her? Do I really want that? And when I said no, I don't want that, I changed my communication. I wasn't as thoughtful as I'm communicating this now, by the way. So I just asked her a simple question. I said, "Hey, mom, why does this bother you? Why does this bother you?" And then she started talking, and I just listened. And when she started talking, everything made sense. Because when you grow up in a civil war, you learn to close your doors. You learn to lock your doors. You learn only to trust the people in your own ethnicity who are not going to kill anybody around you. So it makes sense that she brings that value system to Canada. So then I listened to her for 30 minutes and I said, hey, we don't live there anymore. And guess what? I got to eat at my friend's house and it was fine. But that's the point. Is a lot of us make two key mistakes here, just to summarize that story into insights. The first mistake is we don't take the time to restate and understand the other person's position. So if you're in a conversation with a family member, one thing I like to do, if it's a very serious conversation, I don't do if it's lighthearted, but if it's really serious, I'll say, hey, just to make sure I understood your perspective correctly, you meant to say A, B, and C, right? And then they'll say no, and then they'll start talking about D, E, and F. So I still haven't communicated my perspective. And when you lead with the example first, people will listen to you. And that's why I have zero problems with my family. That's one. And then the second piece is to, and this is something I've recommended everybody I teach to do, is to really write down a relationship vision. A relationship vision means, and a lot of people just do this in romantic relationships. I don't just mean romance here. I mean every relationship that's valuable to you. What would the ideal relationship look like with your mother? What would the ideal relationship look like with your sister? And me taking that time to just reflect on that in my mind has led to pretty much zero arguments. I can't remember the last time I argued with my sister.
Brendan. That's great advice. I just want to just say really quick. I love, I like we got on this podcast. I wasn't sure where it was going to go. This is like, this is awesome.
You didn't
awesome.
Have any questions, of course.
I had the one I, question.
You
know
were going to ask him any questions. So.
Just, no, because this is such an important topic. I feel like this helps every, I mean, when you work on your relationships in life, when you work on your business relationships, your children, your mom, and your, I mean, that's when you can do things. Forget about the success and money for a second. It's when you are happy at home, when you have a solid foundation in your family life. I mean, you're free to
have you
to
been
make
listening
money.
To Jake and Gino for the last 7 years?
No,
success
I stopped listening.
And money yeah. come from relationships.
Yeah.
So that's yeah. seminal yeah. to the conversation.
That's my point. I'm making a point.
Yes.
But yeah.
And to round out yeah. what Brendan said, which is really important, Stephen Covey says it best: seek first to understand, and then to be understood. So if you don't go out and understand the other side, that's what yeah. you should have in your mind all the time. Even if you want to get out what you want to say, at yeah. least understand them from where they're yeah. coming from and let them talk and then gather the information and the data. And I love what you said. Let me know, am I hearing you correct? Is this what you're saying? So it's a great Chris Voss technique yeah. where you're actually mirroring back what they're saying. And you could even use the last three words of a sentence just to, you know, recapture what they're saying back to them. And it also signals to them, oh, wow, Brendan's listening to me. And that may be what they need to be able to say, no one listens to me. That's why I have to get this all off of my chest as quickly as possible, because no one listens to me. Now, this Brendan guy is pretty cool. He's listening to me. So maybe I can be a little bit vulnerable, a little bit transparent, and a little bit vulnerable with him and just listen to his side. So I think that's important as well.
And I too, when you do talk to someone, when you are listening, I want to talk about your reaction. Because, you know, I could tell you as parents, you know, siblings, especially when someone's talking to you, when someone's telling you something, when they're opening up to you and your reaction is like not interested, or like my husband's Italian, sometimes, you know, his mannerisms come out a little different. They're a little, you know, a lot of times people are afraid to like actually tell you the truth or tell you because of your reaction. And they've learned this their whole relationship with you. So if it's a sibling, you know, they know how their sister is going to react. And so they maybe don't tell you the whole story. And so how do you gain that trust if you start reacting a little bit different? Go ahead, Brendan.
Yeah, you're asking the right questions, Julia. So a couple of thoughts on this. Number one, it goes back to the whole, you know, the arguments. You know, one thing that's really helped me a lot in listening, especially when it's important. So if it's lighthearted, I'll always interrupt people, interrupt each other. That's fine. But if it gets a little bit more serious, my thought process is always, my priority is not to share my opinion. My priority is to make sure I understand the other person's opinion. And if that becomes the priority truly, people will respect you far more. Like when I'm coaching a client, it doesn't matter what I think yet. I need to mostly understand what's in your world right now. Why are you struggling with the smile? What's the backstory behind your calls, behind who you are? And it's that priority that makes people want to then listen to your perspective. So that's an easy way to change the prioritization. The second one is, how do you practice this on a day-to-day basis? Easier said than done, right? Because especially with personal relationships, and I'm guilty of this, with personal relationships, it's actually harder, counterintuitive to most people I know, but it's actually harder. And the reason is because you can't leave these people. It's the same. It's very easy to open up to a stranger when you get used to it and you tell them all your life problems, because you know deep inside you never have to really talk to them ever again. And that becomes freeing. So the advice then becomes, practice this with the easiest issue and the person you're the most comfortable with talking to. So for me, it wasn't my family at the beginning. It was my best friends. So I actually do this every quarter with one of my friends. It's super random. He owns like an infrastructure consulting business in Brazil. And I met him in Montreal. Then he moved back to Brazil. And him, I'd have like 6-hour calls with him every quarter. And we just listen to each other's problems. Because I'm really comfortable talking to him. He's very low stakes. He doesn't come from the same background as me. He doesn't know anyone in my family. And it's cool. But for you listening, it might be a sibling. It might be somebody else. And you want to try and argue over the easy things. I wouldn't start right away with where should we move? What should we do with our life? I would start with like, what should we do for dinner? Like, if we can't figure that off like in a really easy, gentle way, then we can't move on to the harder issues. This is what we call practicing the muscle of negotiation or of communication. And then through that, your muscle gets better over time. So like at the beginning, when I was, you know, I made it sound super nice. I think I put myself too much in a good light here. When I was 15, I was going like, why? You know, why does it bother you, mom? Obviously, it wasn't like that. I was like, why does it bother you, mom? Like, I don't get it. Like, it was more like that, right? And then over time, okay, I realized that my mom's a very shy person. She's very introverted. She would never come on a podcast like this. If you met her, she's like a very petite lady. So like now when I talk to her, I don't talk to her in my regular voice, just as a friend, like as just as a, hey, how are you? I don't go like, good morning. I go like, hey, good morning, mom. And then I go downstairs, right? So I change my tone. But these are things you learn over time. But the best way to get started, and I'll throw it back to you two, is to start with the three relationships you're the most comfortable with and that you value the most. Often it won't always be the same, but that would be the starting point.
Yeah, that's great advice.
Let's end the podcast with the random word exercise, because this is something that's actionable that people can actually take away and start practicing, and it's a few minutes a day.
Absolutely, Gino. So let's recap, and then you can throw a word at me. We'll have Julia give me the word. So the random word exercise is pick any word you want. It could be something super random like hemp seeds or container or home, and create random conversations and presentations out of thin air. This serves two main purposes. There's many purposes. There's two main ones. The first one is if you can make sense out of nonsense, you can make sense out of anything. So if you can talk about toast or socks or home, you can talk about pretty much anything you want, especially when it comes to your subject matter expertise. When you go back to real estate or Julia with coaching, you're just going to know what you're doing. You're going to be in your lane. That's one. The second piece is an unintended benefit of the random word exercise, which is small talk. So small talk at the end of the day is improv, where somebody's just asking you a bunch of random questions and you don't really know how to deal with them. So if you can talk about tissue boxes for 60 seconds, when somebody asks you about your day or what you do or just having random conversations, it's going to be really easy for you to navigate. So I'm happy to demonstrate, team. Julia, go ahead and throw a word at me and I will do the
okay.
Right.
I'm looking at a sticky note. So sticky note.
Amazing.
Is that two words? Is that okay?
That's fine. That's
she never goes there. She always breaks the rules.
No, it's fine. It's all good. It's all good. So sticky notes, let's see how I do. It's Sunday evening and I'm getting my thoughts together for the week. You know, mind you, I don't really do this every week because I'm not as organized as I might like to communicate out to the world. But when I do find time to put my sticky notes together on a table and really aligned myself to who I want to be and how I want to show up this week, it's really helpful to prioritize on what matters. And the problem with most of us in our life is we just run week after week after week without really thinking of the grander picture of how we should spend our limited time on Earth. So yeah, do I think sticky notes are great to prioritize your week? Absolutely. But I think sticky notes serve an even greater purpose that a lot of us seem to forget. That sticky notes help us organize our life's work. What would you like your life's work to be? What would you like to spend your time doing so that at the end of your days and on your final day, you'll realize that you accomplished everything that you wanted to do, both from a personal and a professional life? So I would encourage you to invest in sticky notes, whether it's a small box of sticky notes that you take and you put on your table, whether it's the virtual ones that I use on my computer, or whether it's just a notebook. Find a place to get your thoughts organized, because if you don't prioritize your time correctly, somebody else will, and it won't look that great.
That was impressive. Yeah. It was excellent. So I have a question because I'm curious. So when I said that, did you come up with a story, or you just kind of just went at it? Like, tell me what was going on in your head there. I'm really curious.
For sure. So the most important thing I always like to communicate at this question, Julie, because it's a good one, is the approach is you begin with no approach. So a lot of people, when they see me do it, they don't realize I've practiced this exercise 3,000 times. Not like 30 times, not 50, yeah. Like 3,000 times. Mm-hmm.
3,001 now.
Now 3,001, yeah, 372 or something. Maybe 3,002 because I did it a few hours ago too. But the idea is the first 100 times you do it, Julia, you'll get the word snowflake and you'll go, I don't know, I guess there's snow outside of my house. And you kind of just try and survive through it. That's really the goal. But then after you do it a few times, what starts to happen psychologically is you stop worrying about what you say anymore. So you kind of just go, well, I mean, now that I've done it 25 times, cool, you know, snowflake is something. And then you just start doing it. Because this is the fun part, is that if I gave you snowflake, if I gave you sticky note and you sticky note and myself sticky note, we would come up with three different stories completely. So the key is not really to follow a specific approach. It's more to do this enough until you find your style and you take enjoyment out of doing the work. Because the thing that the random word exercise is trying to solve for, because we're always looking for an approach, we're always looking for a structure, which is why I teach this exercise, because life has no approach. Life has no structure. You could wake up one morning and say, hey, Gino, you know, one of your biggest investors is on the call. I just need you to jump on this call right now because Jake is sick and I know he didn't brief you on the deck, but could you just jump in and do this? Oh, okay, well, that's life. Right? Or something's happening in your romantic life. Hey, why did you forget about the date today? You're like, shit, I wasn't forgetting. So you have to figure out how to communicate out of that situation. You can't go, hey, babe, because she's really mad. It's like, or he's really mad at you. Can you give me like 5 minutes to kind of write my thoughts out to you? No, you have to react because they're calling you, they're mad. That's life. And that's what the random word teaches us. And when we do this enough and we start to feel progress because it's quick, we have a lot less anxiety, we bring that a little bit more in our real life.
I like that. I like that exercise. That's great.
Brendan, how can the listeners get a hold of you? Because I know you're coaching entrepreneurs, you're coaching people in the corporate space, you're coaching real estate experts. How can they get a hold of you?
For sure, Jim. First of all, this is such a pleasure. Thanks for having me on the show. Super fun to be here with you too. And the way to keep in touch is really simple. So just go to my Instagram, which is Master Your Talk. So your is spelled YOUR, Master Your Talk. And just send me a DM if you listen to the show and let me know what you thought of it. And I'll respond with the voice note.
Brendan, I'm a little upset. You should have said, hey, bro, this show is great. What's his low energy?
Yeah,
I know, but
yeah,
it's because we're here. Bro, this is a great show. I love being here, Julia.
Thank you, Gino.
Thank you.
I love this show. I just want, Brendan, thank you for being like, seriously, I'm, this is one of my favorite topics. And I just thank you for bringing this to our listeners and especially to me and Gino, because as I said earlier, this is really our therapy session. Sometimes I think a lot of times we don't talk about certain things at home, but we talk about them here live in front of other people.
And I told you when you first approached me and you're like, well, family, how's this going to work on the Julie and Gino show? I said, babe, trust me. This is the
wait for having to have Brendan on.
Yes.
I actually said I wanted to meet him. And so I'm like, bring him on.
Brendan, I'm going to recap. I'm going to recap
fun.
Your story.
Yeah.
Because I know you grew up in Montreal, a young boy, petrified, being in school, not able to speak French. Bonjour. He's not really sure. So he's starting off his life being scared as a public speaker. Now, he is a self-proclaimed geek. He went to college. I know he became an accountant. Accountant of all things.
I know, it's crazy, right?
And public speaking, that's a total dichotomy. But at the age of 19, he starts his YouTube channel. And, you know, if you guys want to laugh, go watch his first couple of videos because they were hilarious. They were excellent. He hit the record button, but it didn't stop the record button. And 7 years later, he's now coaching entrepreneurs, thought leaders. He's on the Julie and Gino show. He has made it, folks. And it's all about being able to communicate your thoughts, being a more persuasive person, having influence. And with all that comes leadership. I want to thank you for being on the show today, Brendan.
Hey, thanks for having me too. It's such a pleasure.
Yeah, this has been great, everyone. share our podcast, like, subscribe, all that fun stuff, send me an email, juliabarbaro@gmail.com, and we will see you next time.
Thanks, Brandon.